Life happens fast. Be financially ready. Call Mesiro, 877-MESIROW. It's a Mesiro Monday. We are in December, everybody. Shouldn't be a newsflash to anyone. Last month of the year, good chance to look back and look at the past year. Make sure that we take advantage of all sorts of things financially and with our family, too. Jennifer, I don't know why I'm being so dramatic as I open up the podcast today. How are you doing?
I'm good. I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving weekend.
I did. Apparently, I'm being nostalgic for some reason. I don't know why. No, it is the holiday time. And boy, I think this is a good way to put it. The following tips that we're going to have on ways to save your bill to Uncle Sam to be a little bit less can also benefit you in great ways and are great parts of bigger plans. And it's not like Uncle Sam ain't going to get his. I mean, right? These aren't like crafty ways to get around the law. These are taking advantages of the laws that are there, right?
In fact, many of these laws exist to encourage you to save for certain needs for you and your family and to provide for others. They want you to take advantage of these benefits.
Everything we're saying, I guess what I'm saying, is completely legal, ethical, and you should do it.
Absolutely.
All right, let's start by talking about the tax-deferred contributions. For most people, they go, oh, my 401k? Is that what you're talking about? What do you mean maximizing it?
So in 2025, you can put away $23,500 or even more if you're 50 or over into your 401k or 403b at work. Even though it's December, it's not too late to either increase your contribution or start contributing. It's through your payroll, and there's still one or two payrolls left in the year, and you can make the changes anytime.
So if you're adding up how much you've done in your 401k, go through your HR company or whatever app you use, find out how much has been deferred over the year. And let's say I'm like 5,000 short and I have a little extra cash here. And I'm okay with cash for the rest of December. Could I like bump it up to 30% for two paychecks to try and get to there as fast as I can?
You could. And don't worry about going over. The way the payroll companies work is they automatically cut it off at the max. So put it at whatever percentage you're comfortable and take advantage of the tax savings by contributing as much as you can, because starting January 1st, it starts over again.
You mentioned the catch-ups. You can do an extra $7,500 in your 50s, and new, I believe, this year or last year, that was very new, there's an extra catch-up in your 60s.
Yes, in your early 60s, you can now do a catch-up of $11,250. Many people don't know that. So if you still had the $7,500 from last year, make sure that you bump it up a little bit if you have that extra savings available.
That's a lot. I'm doing quick math here. $34,750.
It's a lot of money.
And
if you do it in a traditional 401k, you get a tax deduction for that. So it's like you made, you know, $30,000+ less that year that you're paying tax on, which is really meaningful, federal and state.
Right. There's obviously the IRAs and the Roth IRAs outside of that. They have some income limits, which you don't have to go through the entire thing. But suffice to say that if you have a little bit more on the sidelines that you can put away and avoid some taxes, do it.
Absolutely. And Roth IRAs are especially great for young people in your family. You can even give it as a gift. If you have kids who had, you know, a summer job as a camp counselor or working at a store, if they had earned income this year, you can put a good amount of money, up to $7,000, into a Roth IRA from them, which will grow tax-free for decades and will be significant wealth when they are in retirement.
You can only do up to the income they earned, right? So
correct.
If they made $5,000 this summer working odd jobs or whatever they did, I, as their parent, can put $5,000 in a Roth. Essentially, that's the money they made.
Yes.
And then they get to, $5,000 for a 15-year-old or a 16-year-old, my goodness, when that grows, oh, you're going to be excited about compounding interest. Okay. And then the one that, you know, we're rushing through a bunch of things right now, but I don't want people to forget about is the HSAs. Oh my goodness, the triple tax saving, the best thing out there.
Health savings accounts are the only account I know of with a triple tax exemption, meaning when you put money into the account, you get a tax deduction on your tax return that year for the amount you contribute. While the money is in the account, you can invest it in a variety of stocks and bonds and funds, just like a 401k. All of the growth from that, you don't pay tax on. And when you eventually take the money out, whether it be now or in retirement for healthcare expenses, you don't pay tax then. They're really the best.
Yeah, as long as it's on the qualified health list, but there's a bunch of things on there that people don't even think of.
Very liberal definition.
Yeah, including like ramps for people for adjusting their homes as long as it's a legit reason why you need to have a stair lift or something, like stuff like that counts.
Yep. Tylenol, a lot of over-the-counter things you're buying at the drugstore anyways count as well.
And I know I probably say this all the time. Listeners are like, we get it. You love HSAs. But let's say you pay out of pocket for everything right now and you've already opened up that HSA. Save all those receipts because you can pay yourself back at any time for what you paid for out of the pocket, meaning let's say you grow over 10 years, you spend $10,000 in healthcare costs, but you paid for it out of pocket, but you had that HSA. If there was, God forbid, something you needed $10,000, you could take it out of your HSA using the receipts of what you spent for the past 10 years. And it grew for free, essentially.
They're wonderful.
Okay. Jennifer says so, it must be true. And Jennifer's looking at me like, we're supposed to get through 6 items, and John, we aren't even through 1 yet. Stop talking. Okay, let's talk about annual gifting. This can be a way to give money to good people and avoid Uncle Sam a little bit, right?
Yep. So if you can give to anyone $19,000 per year, if you're married, it's $38,000 per year. This is a great way to get money out of your name or out of your estate into other people's estates. Estate tax can be complicated, and many people think it doesn't apply to them. There's federal estate tax. There's also Illinois estate tax. Talk to your wealth advisor or accountant to see if this would be a fit for you. But it's a great way, if you have some extra money, to help out those around you. And if you do $19,000 or less, you don't have to file any kind of return or additional paperwork when you file your taxes. As a side note, if you ever want to pay for someone's medical bills or education, regardless of the amount, regardless of your net worth, you can do that at any time with no tax implications.
Right. Now, that doesn't lower your taxable income, though, right?
No, it doesn't lower your taxable income. It just gets money out of your name. And for some people, that may be advantageous.
Especially with the state as a $4 million yes. estate tax in the state of Illinois. And people might be like, $4 million, that's a lot. It is. But when you start thinking about what your home might be worth versus when you bought it 30 years ago, your 401ks, your IRAs, people get to $4 million a lot quicker than they realize. Okay, a quick reminder at the end of the year too, because this will cost you mightily in the tax world if you forget, it's the RMD, right?
Yep. So you need to, once you reach a certain age, it's now 73, it's going to go up to 75 in a few years, you must start taking money out of your IRAs. And it starts at about 4%. The amount goes up per year. Your financial institution helps you calculate the amount. And this is all taxable income to you. So you need to make sure that when you're preparing your taxes in April, or if you pay estimates this year, that you're taking that into account, because some people can be really surprised. But it's important that you take the required distribution, because there's a very significant penalty if you don't.
Right. So I think most people got the message on that. But don't wait till December 31st to remember to do that. If you haven't done it yet, take it out. Can you spread that out over the year, by the way, like RMDs?
Yes, you can. If you want to use it, if you want to take out a 1/12 of it per month, you can. You can take it all in January. I would really try to match it up to when you might need money. So let's say you need a certain amount of money for certain expenses. Don't sell stocks that have large embedded gains from a non-retirement account if you know you're going to have to take money out of that retirement account at some point in the year.
That makes sense to me. All right, let's say we want to be a giving person to charities, but also I want to save a little money from Uncle Sam. Charitable contributions, and there's some changes with the new tax bills too that can make a lot more of us in the itemized area as well this year, making charitable contributions look even more advantageous, huh?
Yep. So something that's going into effect in 2026 is that you can no longer deduct the first 1/2 of 1% of your income. Meaning, let's say you make $200,000. The first $1,000 to charity that you give, you'll get no benefit for. You'd only get benefits for contributions over that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. It's a change going into effect in January.
Huh.
As a result, many people are opening donor advised funds in 2025 while they still can. A donor advised fund is complicated, but in short, it's a way to bunch your charitable contributions. So if you normally give $5,000 away per year, maybe you open a charitable contribution with 5 or 10 years worth of contributions. So you would get the benefit, the tax benefit for that full contribution this year. And then it's up to you when you distribute the money out of the account to the charity. So you can still do it over the next 5 or 10 years, but you would get the full tax benefit in 1 year.
Okay. Boy, I didn't know that with the $1,000. I mean, that's if you make 200 grand.
The half of 1%. It's going to be, I hope it doesn't impact charities negatively. Yeah. It's a big change.
I think a lot of people want to give like $100 or $200 and, oh, I get a couple dollars off my taxes. That's a little extra bonus, but they're not going to be able to do that.
No, they're not.
I mean, still give if you can, people.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. Exactly.
Okay. Thanks for that. The 529s. Boy, you and I have been thinking about 529s this year, haven't we?
We have. We have. We've both been opening some 529s of our own, which has been exciting. And they're really the greatest way to save for college. You get a state tax deduction in Illinois, but really the benefit of them is that all of the contributions you put into the account, all of the growth is tax-free if the money is used for qualified education expenses. So they're really advantageous if you do them early in the child's life. The closer they get to college, it's still great to contribute, but the real benefit is in those first 5 or 10 years.
Can I tell you what I did with David's grandparents, my parents? They're so nice. They're giving like a monthly contribution. But I went ahead and used my compounding interest calculator, and I basically said, you could put the same amount of money in, but if you do it here in the first 4 or 5 years, because I know they got the cash, and then stop, how much more it's going to be worth, and they absolutely bought into that. They were like, that makes a lot of sense. So if you maybe have grandparents who want to help out, that's great, and they're like, I want to do $25 a month over 18 years. First of all, awesome. Thank you. That's wonderful. But maybe total up what that money is, and if you front load it and then tell them you can stop at a certain point, that might be a huge benefit. Because, I mean, 18 years is a long time for compounding interest to grow, but the more you can do in those first 5 years, the better off you're going to be, right?
Absolutely. And also, it's important to remember that you can contribute to anyone's 529, not just a family member. So if you have a friend or a colleague and you know that they have a child in a 529, ask them how to make out a check or how to make a contribution, because 529s are not just for family members. Anybody in Illinois can contribute to Illinois 529 plans.
Yeah, I've got the Bright Start, and it comes with a little 6-digit code, and that's how people can gift. I will mention, because I almost opened up a 529 like in my own little brokerage account, that you have to go through Bright Start Illinois to get the Illinois tax deduction. So just be aware of that stuff.
Or if you work with an advisor, they'll use Bright Directions, which is the advisor-directed Illinois plan. So either Bright Start or Bright Directions to get the Illinois tax benefit.
Okay, that's that one. Let's talk about tax loss harvesting. Probably not a ton of opportunities for it this year, but everyone's got some losers in their life. You never know, right?
So I would do a quick scan of your non-retirement accounts and say, does anything have a unrealized loss, meaning it's worth less today than when you bought it. Given the strong market the last couple of years, it's unlikely you have many losses, but it's possible if you own a basket of individual stocks that there are some losers depending on when you bought them. If you can, sell the stock of the loss, book the loss. You get to use that loss against gains you have, or $3,000 of it can be used for ordinary income and it carries forward. And there's a lot of nuance to this, but if you feel like you're okay not owning that stock for 30 days, sell it, get the tax advantage, and then in 31 days, you can even rebuy it and your overall portfolio hasn't changed. There's really little downside to doing it.
Talk to the folks at Mesero about that, because it may be a little too complex to really kind of grasp, especially without not charts. But let's say you sold some stocks and you made $10,000. You could sell some stocks that were losers and bring down that income that you're going to, the tax you're going to pay on the $10,000. Maybe now you only made $8,000 or whatever the case may be. Or as you're saying, you can take it off your overall income up to $3,000. And this probably isn't an equation this year, so maybe we'll talk about this more in a real down year. But if you got some real big losers, you can actually space that out over a couple years, right?
Yep, the loss would carry forward on your tax return indefinitely. So there's a lot of it's a benefit of having a loss.
I remember we did a whole episode on this, I believe, in 2022. You and I chatted extensively. That was the time to do it. Okay, that was a lot of Uncle Sam ways to save and help other people out. That was our longer podcast of the month. Next week, we're going to talk about strategy, little Roth or traditional Roth conversion, and rebalancing, kind of take an overlook at what you got. We'll do that next week on a Mesero Monday, 877-MESERO, MESIROW.com. Want to live well? Then you need to plan well. A Mesro advisor can help you create a financial plan that fits your life. Call Mesro at 877-MESIROW.